Hi, hello everybody. Thank you for joining me and welcome to this week's Worthy-sode, where I, your host, Christine, one of your two hosts, will be talking about none other than guitarist Joe Satriani. Okay, so I've mentioned a lot about the fact that I really, really enjoy instrumental music. For some reason, for the past few years, it has been something that I've gained an obsession with, and it's just something that I enjoy. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's the harmonics and the melodies and the harmonies and all of the instrumentals and how they meld together into a song that can be relatable without having any words to it. Something that can evoke so much emotion and make someone cry. Yes, that person crying is me. Don't judge me. It's okay. It's okay to have feelings sometimes. You know, that is something that's very important in this episode. Something that I touch on a little bit. But going on to talking about Joe Satriani. He was born in Westbury, New York in July of 1956, making him 63 years old today. At age 14, Satriani, his inspiration to play the guitar was sparked after learning about Jimi Hendrix's death. In 1974, Satriani studied music with jazz guitarist Billy Bauer and with the reclusive jazz pianist Lenny Tristano. The technically demanding Tristano greatly influenced Satriani's playing. Satriani began to teach guitar, and his most notable students at the time being was fellow Long Island native Steve Vai. They also went to the same high school, so of course they're going to represent. And while he was teaching Vai, he was also attending Five Towns College, studying music, of course. In 1978, Satriani moved to Berkeley, California to further pursue his music career, further learn, and also teach. So, in doing so, he taught a few more people besides Steve Vai that you may know. He taught Kirk Hammett of Metallica, David Bryson of Counting Crows, great band, Kevin Cadogan from Third Eye Blind, another great band, and Larry Ledon of Primus and Possessed, also other great bands. In the 80s, Satriani started playing in a San Francisco-based band called The Squares, where he made special connections that would later benefit his second album, because he had already created a first album. This second album, which is very important to me, is called Surfing with the Alien. Joe Satriani would go on to be in a variety of bands and produce a variety of albums and EPs in the 80s. But his album, Surfing with the Aliens, is the one that got me, personally, to decide to do this Worthy-sode for him. Or about him, rather. This album was entirely instrumental, and it was one of the first instrumental releases to have topped charts in so many years. If you've listened to previous Noteworthy episodes and this one, if you listened to the beginning, you may have heard me say something along the lines of, I've heard an instrumental band, they were so good that they made me cry, I was so satisfied that I left the show before the headliner even had a chance to try to impress me. Like, you know, it may not have been that verbatim, but it was close enough. But anyway, that's how I imagine that fans of Joe Satriani felt. Fans of that album, Surfing with the Alien. Either it was that or a surprise, you know? It was something that was surprising that someone was able to create an entire album with various instrumental elements that rocked so hard in a time where lyrics were very notably an important element to a song. I mean, of course, you have Buckethead or Sky, the English-Australian instrumental band that were out from the late 70s to the mid-90s, serving you generational changes in their style over time, or even Earth. But this album topped those. It posed many an opportunity after its release to Joe Satriani. I don't know him, so I can't really call him by his first name. I don't know him on a first name basis. Don't listen to me, y'all. Anyway, Satriani was offered by Mick Jagger himself to play solo guitar on his solo tour of Japan in 1988. This is Mick Jagger's tour. Having the track Crushing Day featured on the soundtrack of a low-budget film called It Takes Two is a pretty important thing. It's a pretty important time of that year for him. In that same year, Satriani released an EP titled Dreaming Number 11, which featured another song called The Crush of Love. In 1989, he released an album called Flying in a Blue Dream, and it was said to be inspired by the death of his father, who passed away in 89 during the recording of that album. If there was an album that was likely made with more emotion, it would very much be this one, because I would say that death inspires a good portion of people's music. Death inspires it, love inspires it. I feel, though, that death will generally be more inspiring. The song One Big Rush wound up being featured on the soundtrack to a movie called Say Anything. Another song called The Forgotten Part 2 was featured on a Labatt Blue commercial in Canada in 1993. Can't Slow Down, which is another song, was featured in a car chase sequence on the show Nash Bridges. And The Bells of Lal Part 1 was featured in a scene in the movie Sling Blade. I can't think of any other hardworking individual. Okay, that's a lie. I can think of a lot of very hardworking individuals that have created, even now, that have created albums and songs, and it's just one after the other, after the other, after the other. They're always working, and they're always creating, and what they create is pretty dope. But I feel like at that time, Joe Satriani was in a zone, and his zone was to be great. As I said before, and I'll say it again, all it takes is one great hit to get the ball rolling, and you've got not only an album, but many pieces of art in the works, and the backing and support that you need to make it big in the industry. You being Joe Satriani. And I may not have said that verbatim, but I'm sure that you can pick up what I'm putting down. You're all smart and capable human beings, and if you're listening to this podcast and learning something, then that means that I've done my job today right. Following all of these albums, all of these releases, and all of these features in movies, TV shows, commercials, in 1992, Satriani released The Extremist, which was his most commercially successful album to date. Radio stations across the U.S. picked up Summer Song, which got a major boost when Sony used it in a major commercial campaign for their Discman portable CD players. Remember those things? Us millennials had to live through it all. We had Walkmen, CD players, MP3s, Zunes, which failed. And now our phones play all of our music that we have. Our computers still play all of our music that we have. We have so many different platforms to play music. You can even play it on a gaming console. But I digress, and I'm now sounding older than I am. Going back to the music, the songs Crying and Friends and the title track were the regional hits on the radio. In late 1993, Satriani joined the band Deep Purple. He originally joined as a temporary replacement for their guitarist Ritchie Blackmore during the band's Japanese tour. The concerts were a huge success, and they wound up asking Satriani to join the band permanently, but he declined, having just signed a multi-album deal with Sony by himself, of course, and Steve Morse took the slot. He wound up becoming their guitarist, Deep Purple's guitarist, if you didn't know what I was talking about. In 1996, Satriani founded G3. It was a concert tour intended to feature a trio of guitarists, The original lineup featured Satriani and Steve Vai, there goes that name again, and Eric Johnson. The G3 Tour continued its periodic... The G3 Tour has continued periodically since its original creation, and Satriani is the only permanent member. In 1998, Satriani recorded and released this album called Crystal Planet, followed by Engines of Creation, one more of his experimental works, and it featured a lot of electronica-type sounds. He also recorded two shows at that time, always staying busy. Moving forward and jumping through the years, because Satriani created album after album after album, in 2006 he signed on as an official supporter of a nonprofit organization called Little Kids Rock. Now, this organization provides free musical instruments and instruction to children in underserved public schools throughout the U.S. During this time, Satriani personally delivered instruments to children in the program through a charity raffle for the organization. And just like his pal, Steve Vai, representing, he sits on the board of directors as an honorary member. In 2008... Satriani filed a copyright infringement lawsuit against Coldplay. In this suit, he claimed that the song Viva La Vida, which is a great song, I think that great is probably a pretty relatively common adjective for me to use in regards to music, because I just love music. It's just a part of me. But I digress. Satriani believed that Viva La Vida included substantial, and I quote, substantial original portions of the song If I Could Fly from his 2004 album Is There Love in Space. The Coldplay song in question wound up receiving two Grammys for Song of the Year, and Coldplay later denied the allegations that they took portions of If I Could Fly to use in their song. There wound up being an unspecified settlement between the two parties, and who knows what brought these artists to an agreement, but thank goodness it was reached, because now we can still listen to both of these songs today without having to find them on LimeWire. Just kidding. LimeWire is no longer a thing now, unless you want viruses on your computer. In 2010, Satriani joined ex Van Halen rockers Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith, and they formed a supergroup called Chickenfoot. The band released a self-titled album in 2009 and toured while Satriani continued to release his own music. A year later, the band released their second album called Chickenfoot 3, and then the guitarist released another live album in 2012, and another in 2013, and another in 2014, and yet another in 2015. I'm not going to go on to name all of these albums because there are so many names and it's so easy to get them mixed up, so I'd rather save myself the embarrassment. But you can always look it up. What are these albums called? What do they sound like? I already know that they sound dope. Anyway, in 2008, Satriani returned with his 16th album titled What Happens Next, which was recorded with his Chickenfoot bandmate and also Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith and the Deep Purple bassist Glenn Hughes. But seriously, if this Worthy Soad isn't any indication of the talent that took place from the 80s until now with this man, I don't know what will. He's taught so many talented musicians now. He has created numerous albums and formed a number of bands and a supergroup. Satriani is considered a highly technical guitarist. He has talent that spans far and wide between the production of albums and the creation of the music itself. With regards to his guitar technique, he is referred to someone who possesses an outstanding technical ability in what he does. He's mastered many performance techniques on the electric guitar, including legato, which is when notes are played smoothly with no silence in between. He's also done two-handed tapping and arpeggio tapping. If you didn't know, arpeggios are known as a broken sequence of chords or a broken chord, and volume swells, otherwise known as a crescendo. He also did harmonics, such as pinch harmonics, hammer-ons, pull-offs, and he utilized extreme whammy bar effects. If you've listened to his first fully instrumental album, or even any of the other music that he's created at all, you'll notice all of these descriptions and all of these elements in what he does are true to form when it comes to Satriani's music. He is an inspiration to many, many people who are learning how to play the guitar and who are trying to figure out their sound and learning the different techniques, because it's more than just strumming up and down. It's more than just finger picking each individual note and creating a chord. There are a variety of different ways that you can learn how to play and play the guitar effectively and still relate to your fans. Thank you, Joe Satriani, for what you've done. Thank you all for taking the time out to listen to this episode. And we hope to hear you and see you again soon. Also, be sure to listen to our previous episode where we talk to VWO about their Afropunk experiences, their writing process, and more. Check out our previous season where we talk to so many super talented artists all around New Jersey. We have worthy sodes where we talk about influential artists for us. And check out our new episode, which will be coming up soon. And yeah, thank you all. This is Christine signing out.
Noteworthy is brought to you by CC Black Girl Production.
Athena, say bye.